ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized, text number 6. If you can distribute some Bhagavad Gitas. I'll be honest with you, we're not so organized. It should actually be on the board. Some other, we can't really get it together. So what we do, we just give you a Bhagavad Gita. And it works actually very good. Although I have to share this one thought that, I mean, I also do it. I like to read when somebody gives class. Some other, I have a very visual mind and it's easier for me to read along with the person. Also, when Prabhupada gives class, we used to distribute the transliteration, or the, how do you say, transcription of the lectures. And it was also easier for me. However, I know there's one lecture in New York where some person had like a Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada says, just listen. So, anyway, but like I said, I also do it myself, so I just want to stress the point that I also like to go through it even during the lecture, and I know it's not so good. But the point is that the Prabhupada really stresses to listen. At the same time, also, I mean, this is a class. It's called Bhagavad Gita class. So the point is that we learn about Bhagavad Gita. So if the Bhagavad Gita helps you to study Bhagavad Gita, then it's okay. The point is at the end of the lecture, then we should know something more about Krishna. Basically, and about our relationship with Krishna, and about who we are, which we already know, because we're all devotees, we're the soul, eternal servant of Krishna. Anyway, and the point of the reading, what we'll do now together, is actually to memorize the verse. Pralanda Maharaj, he comes here a lot, he knows, as far as I know, practically all the verses from Bhagavad Gita, including the translations. So that might be a tall order. Still, Prabhupada wants us to know at least the most important verses. And this is not the super duper important verse, but every verse in Bhagavad Gita is important.
Text 6.
Yeah, so, and one last thing I can tell you, that the Bhagavad Gita actually, it is part of the Mahabharata, which is called the Great History of India. And this Gita is like a chapter of that Mahabharata. So that's why you're also getting some like background story, although the Bhagavad Gita generally is known as a philosophical book, still there is a story also behind it, and that is kind of what we'll hear today. And still, it gives all, because it's Krishna speaking, Krishna is God, and it actually gives philosophy also. It talks here about moral principles, which is also very, very important. Okay, so we'll start with the word for word. And then we'll do it. We'll do the verse. So please repeat. Na,
na
cha,
cha
etat vidmaha katarat naha gariyaha yatva yayema yadi va naha yayeyu yam eva hatva na jijivisamaha te avashtitaha pramukhe dhartarashtaraha na chetat vidma kataram nagariyo chetat vidmaha kataram nagariyo yadva yayema yadivano yayeyu yan eva hatva na jijivashimas Yan eva hatva na jijivi shamas. Tevashtita pramukhe dartarashtraha. Na chetad vidma katarang nagariyo. Yadvaya yema yadivano yayehu. Yadjaya yema yadivano yayehu. Yadvaya yema yadivano yayehu. Yan eva hatva na jiji vishamas. Devashtita pramukhe dartarashtra. Nachetad vidma kataran nagariyo. Nachetad vidma kataran nagariyo. Yadvaya yema yadivano yayeyu. Yan eva hatva na jiji vishamas. Yan eva hatva na jiji vishamas. Devastita pramukhe dartarashtra. Nachetad vidma kataran nagariyo. Yadvaya yema yadivano yayeyu. Yan eva hatva na jiji vishamas. Devashtita pramukhe dartarashtra. Nachetat vidma kataran nagariyo. Yadvaya yema yadivana no yayehu. Yan eva hatva na jiji vishamas. Devastita pramukhe dartarashtra. Nachetad vidma kataran nagariyo. Yadvaya yema yadivano yayeyu. Yan eva hatva na jiji vishamas. Devastita pramukhe dartarashtra. You want to try, Greg?
What page is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's chapter 2, text yeah. Number 6.
Oh, text 6, chapter 2. Yeah. I'll try.
You want to go ahead? I forgot your name.
Rachel.
Rachel, you want to go ahead?
I'll
try. Nachetad vidma kataran nagariyo. Yadvaya yema yadivano yayeyu. Yan eva hatvas na jiji vishamas. Devastita pramukhe dartarashtra.
Nachetad vidma
kataran nogariyo. Yadvaya yema yadivano yayeyu.
Yan eva hatvana jiji vishamas.
Devastita pramukhe dartarashtra. Okay, I just want to give you a few points on this Sanskrit pronunciation. It was very good. It's a very difficult verse, at least for me. I think you all did very, very good. some even better than me, I think. This is it's a different meter than most verses of Bhagavad Gita. If you look, for instance, at chapter 1, text 44, and I just want you to, I just pick one, but let's just take one, or you could take chapter 2, text 2. Doesn't really matter, but I want you to look if that's in your Bhagavad Gita, because not all Gitas have it, at the Sanskrit. Does your Bhagavad Gita have Sanskrit?
Yes, there's pronunciations.
No, I mean, that we call Roman transliterations.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm talking about the Devanagari. Does your Gita have that? The actual Sanskrit text.
Yeah.
It's called Devanagari. So if you look at, for instance, 144, you see it's actually two sentences. You see that? And that is why that second sentence is printed a little bit in front, because it's part of the first sentence. You understand what I'm saying? So basically, it's in Sanskrit, it's two sentences. You understand?
Yeah.
That is also why, if you look in the index, they never give the second and the fourth line. Like if you want to look up a verse, you know that there is an index where you can find the Sanskrit. So they only give the Sanskrit of the first line and the third line, because that is actually the beginning of the sentence. And they never give the Sanskrit of the second and the fourth line, because it's considered to be in the middle of the sentence. So now I want you to go back to text number 6, and you'll see that there's actually four lines of Sanskrit. So it's a different kind of meter. It's a different kind of text than most texts in Bhagavad Gita, and therefore the way to sing it, because it's called Gita, it's called a song, it's a little bit different, and I'm not so experienced yet. So that's why it went a little bit, not completely super duper, but I think still we more or less got it. And then there is two things actually I want to share with you. One is the point on the H. And if it's in mid-sentence, like in the beginning, the first sentence, na cheta dvitma kataram nagariyo, then you don't pronounce it as a aha. Because if you look in the glossary, you'll see that if you look at the H with a dot underneath, that is, let me see if we can find it. I'm not super prepared, I'm sorry. I can't find it, but I remember that it's kind of pronounced as you see? Yeah, here it is. The H is final H sound. A is pronounced like aha, E like ihi. That's what it says. It's called the Visarga. There's different, you know, they call it the most are, let me see. You have cerebrals and palatables. Palatals are with the palate. Then you have dentals. You put your tongue against your dents, or against your dentals, against your teeth. You know, like that. They call it a phonetic language. Anyway, but if it's mid-sentence, then it's not vitmaha. Like if you pronounce it in the beginning, then, you know, I said na cha etat vitmaha, then you do it because it's just a word. But if it's mid-sentence, you don't do it because then the meter goes off. And at the end of the sentence, like ya ye yuhu, it becomes ya ye yuhu, uhu. You see? And I'm telling you this because normally, if it's at the end of the first line, it gets a little bit technical now, then you don't pronounce it because it's considered mid-sentence. Are you still with me?
Yes.
In the normal verses. But here, of course, normally also you would pronounce it because it's the second and the fourth line, which is the end of the sentence. So normally you would also pronounce it, but I just want you to be aware of it. Like for instance, text number 7, it's Karpanya Dosha Pahata Svabhavaha. You see? Because normally you wouldn't pronounce it. You would say Karpanya Dosha Pahata Svabhava. But you can hear it doesn't really, the meter doesn't really fit then. You see? So I just wanted to teach you that. Pralananda Maharaj more or less taught me this. So I just wanted to share that with you. So tomorrow you'll be prepared. And if the speaker doesn't do it, don't correct him, please. Because that's impolite. But if you want, and he's your friend, you could share it after the class. And if you give class, then you know how to do it now. Okay, so we'll just continue with the word for word. Please repeat. Oh, and one last thing. Like for instance, because I actually made a mistake. Like this word Jijivishamas, it's this that S with a dot is sh. And if there's no dot under the S, then it becomes s. So that is another thing I wanted to teach you. Like Krishna, sh. Because there's a dot under the S. It's Krishna. That's why we put an H there when we put it online or something, when we don't have a dot, or we put it in a flyer and it's too expensive or too difficult to put a dot underneath. So we put an H there because it's sh. You understand? So this word Jijivishamas. We would want to live. Yeah. Jijivishamas. Jiji means something like alive. Like the jiva. You know, and shamaha means something like, I'm not sure, vishamaha. I mean, shama also means together. You know, vishamaha means really together. And it's translated here as we want to live. We would want to live. And it's a very difficult language. Prabhupada is completely expert in translating the Sanskrit. Prabhupada actually said, I didn't write these books. You know, he said Krishna wrote them. The translations, it's just out of this world. It really is. If you become a Sanskrit scholar, you'll see that every single word that Prabhupada translated, it's, you know, more or less perfect. Okay, so here we go. So the word for word. So please repeat. Na.
Na.
Nor.
Nor.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Vidmaha.
Vidmaha.
Do we know?
Do we know?
Katarat.
Which?
Naha,
Naha,
for us.
Gariya,
better.
Yadva,
weather.
Yayemaha,
we may conquer. Yadi, if.
Va,
or. Naha,
us.
Yayeyuhu,
they conquer.
Yan,
those who.
Eva,
certainly.
Atva,
by killing.
Na,
never.
Jijivishamaha,
we want to live.
Te,
all of them.
Avastitaha,
are situated.
Pramukhe,
in the front.
Dhartarashtraha,
the sons of
Dhritarashtra.
Translation.
Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield.
I want to say one other thing, is that I also, sometimes people, they skip this repeating of the Sanskrit words. And I actually read the whole Bhagavad Gita like this, and also the whole Bhagavatam. I read every word for word. And that's why I don't want to say I'm really good at Sanskrit, but I know some words. And now I'm practicing for 6 years quite seriously. And I see more and more Sanskrit and how it's related to English and even to French. And so I think it's very important, if you read these books, that you also read the Sanskrit with the translation, because in the beginning you think, what am I doing? It's Chinese. The thing is, you know, practice makes perfect. Practice, Prabhupada says, repetition is the mother of learning. So if you just repeat it, you're going to pick up Sanskrit words sooner or later. And there's important words like karma. Everybody knows karma. You know, it's like a household word now. There's other words that I can't really think of, but karma is definitely a total Sanskrit word, and everybody knows what it means now. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people know. Like, that's your karma, Prabhu. People will say like that, you know? It's a common word. So it's important that we, because it would be really foolish if somebody comes to us and he says, what does karma mean? And we don't know what it means, you know? So, you know, it's important that we learn a little bit of Sanskrit. And you know, my understanding is that it's important that we learn the Sanskrit. It's not super important that we learn also the translation. It's nice if you can do it. What is more important that you kind of know what Krishna is saying. You know, you don't have to literally learn Prabhupada's translation. And why is this? Because in India, people know these Sanskrit verses. And so when they quote it, or when you quote it, then you have to kind of know what it is. And if you just quote the translation, people won't really accept it so much. They also accept it, but they have their translation. So it's most important that you know what the words mean, because then you can challenge the person. You can tell them, no, well, we don't want to challenge, but sometimes we need to challenge. You can explain to him that it's that not what it means. This is what it means. So therefore, it is the stress generally that Prabhupada gives is in the Sanskrit. So try to learn the Sanskrit and that you know kind of what it means. And if you know it literally what Prabhupada gives here, then all the better for you. I'm just saying that in my book, it's more important that you know the Sanskrit and you kind of know what it means than that if you know all the translations, which is, of course, nice. But for me, as I understood it from Prabhupada, it's kind of secondary. So I'll just read it one more time because it's important. So again, nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live, yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. So Arjuna is talking about the sons of Dhritarashtra, conquering them or being conquered by them. He doesn't know what is better. Purport. Arjuna did not know whether he should fight and risk unnecessary violence, although fighting is the duty of the Kshatriyas, or whether he should refrain and live by begging. If he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be his only means of subsistence. Nor was there certainty of victory, because either side might emerge victorious. Even if victory awaited them, and their cause was justified, still, if the sons of Dhritarashtra died in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstances, that would be another kind of defeat for them, them being the Pandavas. All these considerations by Arjuna definitely proved that not only was he a great devotee of the Lord, but he was only also highly enlightened and had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in the royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was truly virtuous, as these qualities, combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, his spiritual master, indicate. It is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there is no chance of liberation. Arjuna was competent in all these attributes, over and above his enormous attributes in his material relationships. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gananjana Salakya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Oh, just for the people who don't know, on page 1 you can find these slokas. It's called invocation. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitangena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Swapanantikang Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Paran Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye.